He certainly is, isn't he? Jesus is our all in all. I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with us to Proverbs chapter 31. Donnie saw fit to read this passage this morning as well in Sunday school. I'm not going to be looking at the entire passage. We don't have time for that today, but I'm going to be looking at a few of the verses in Proverbs chapter 31. While you're turning there, I like to recognize first-time visitors and folks who haven't been with us for a while and special guests. So it's so nice to have Roger and Nancy's daughter Angie with us today and her husband Scott and their daughter Jackie. So good to have all of you folks with us this morning. Thank you for being here. And we have a special grandma, great-grandma, maybe great-great-grandma, I believe, that's going to have a birthday this week. So happy birthday to Peg Wagaman. And do you mind telling people your age, Peg? Do you mind people knowing your age?
No.
She's 92 years young this week. 92. I think that makes her the oldest grandmother here today. Am I right? Is there anyone, any mother, grandmother older than 92? So congratulations. You win the prize for being the oldest grandmother. And so good to have you with us. Praise the Lord. The virtuous woman. It's been a long time since we've dealt with this passage of Scripture. And Mother's Day is one of those events that, to me, is one of the most special holidays of the year. Following Easter and Christmas, maybe Thanksgiving, I put more emphasis on Mother's Day and somewhat on Father's Day than any of the other holidays of the year. And maybe 4th of July, that one's important too. And I did want to mention, beautiful job this morning, choir. We appreciated hearing that song again from the Easter cantata, but Pam and the choir's working on a 4th of July special, wherever Pam, there you are, way back there. The patriotic special, I think we did that last year, right? 2 years ago. 2 years ago. They're going to be doing the patriotic special again the week after the 4th of July. And so looking forward to that. And on that same Sunday, we're going to have after the morning worship and hearing the patriotic cantata, we're going to have a little picnic-like luncheon in the ministry's building. So we'll have a time of fellowship following that. Okay, enough said. Proverbs chapter 31, if you have found that in your Bible and you're able to stand once again with us this morning, as in respect to God's Word, we do like to stand and revere God's Word. I'm just going to read verses 10 through 12, and then we'll drop down and read verses 28 to 31. And those 10 through 12, verses 10 through 12 are the verses that I'm primarily going to be focusing in on this morning. So here we go. I'm in Proverbs chapter 31, starting in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Lord, may we just honor the mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers among us today. And not only them, Lord, but our mothers that have reared us in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Many of them are home with you in heaven today. And our memories refreshing those days of childhood when our mothers spent so much time pouring their lives into us. And teaching us, teaching us the principles and the truths of Scripture, the lessons of the Bible that are so important to us today for our admonition and fear of the Lord. As we consider the virtuous woman today, we will learn in this passage of Scripture and in this message, we will learn that it is equally important to be a virtuous man if we happen to be men. And so we need to really carefully consider what that means exactly. Give us guidance from your Holy Spirit, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Proverbs chapter 31. I've been for quite some time, I just told you, Mother's Day, I consider that to be a very important event, a time where we try to really bring a message that is going to speak to hearts and honor the women at the same time. And so for a long time, I've been considering and thinking about and praying and asking God, give me what you would have me to share with the congregation on Mother's Day. And God is so faithful in His providence. Back during, it's been a month or so ago now, we had the Fellowship of Bible Churches Spring Retreat. And George Zeller was present. He was one of the speakers at the Spring Retreat from Middletown Bible Church in Connecticut. Middletown Bible Church has a tremendous teaching ministry. They have hundreds of sources and resources for Bible teachers and pastors and all kinds of situations. So many different subjects are covered online with the material that they have produced over the years. And George brought a book table, as many of the speakers do at those conferences. And on his book table, he had a whole table, an 8-foot table, just full of free literature. That word always catches the eye of pastors. It's good to find things that are free. And so as I was looking over his free table, something caught my eye. And it was a Bible study, and the title of the Bible study was A Virtuous Woman. So I thought, I wonder if there could be something in here that would be applicable for Mother's Day. It's been a long time, as I said earlier, that I've preached a message on the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31, because that is so often chosen as the subject for the Mother's Day message. And I try to shy away from that and do other things. But I have covered that a couple of times in my ministry and even here. But as I looked through this Bible study that was prepared by George Zeller and some other men on what the virtuous woman exactly is and different things, covers all of verses 10 through 31 of Proverbs chapter 31, it was a real blessing to my heart. And God just gave me a fresh look and a fresh view at the details given here of the virtues of the woman described. And but we're going to, this morning, just basically focus on what we can glean from verses 10 through 12. And because the Proverbs 31 woman, as described here in this chapter, it would take weeks, literally weeks, to go through all of these verses and really share with you the details of what we find embedded in this scripture. And the Proverbs 31 woman is really a beacon, a bright light, a lighthouse, if you will, in this Old Testament book of wisdom, illuminating for us the kind of role model that women of all ages and even men can emulate and live by. We need to face the facts. There are not many godly women in our world today, and they're getting more and more rare all the time. There are not many godly men in our world today, and they're getting more and more rare all the time. And here, to quote an anonymous source, here in this beautiful picture of womanhood is a woman who embodies the qualities which every believing woman should strive for in her personal life and appearance, in her family life, and in her daily activities. So taking verses 10 through 12, phrase by phrase, I'm going to ask God to encourage all of us this morning, men, women, and youth alike, towards being a godly person as described as the virtuous woman. First of all, verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? I think the first thing we need to answer is the question, exactly what is a virtuous woman? And so we need to do a little study on that word virtuous and realize that it's an important characteristic. Peter talks about virtuous. A person who is godly in his character is going to have virtue as part of his characteristics. The Amplified Bible, looking at verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman, says an excellent woman, and then in brackets, one who is spiritual, one who is capable, one who is intelligent, one who is virtuous. Who can find her? And so some versions of the Bible translate a virtuous woman as a woman of noble character. Others say it is an excellent woman. Who can find an excellent woman? They're very rare. Who can find a woman of reputable behavior? And all of those things would fit the biblical definition of the word virtuous. But the literal translation of the original Hebrew word is really the idea of strength. Who can find a woman of strength? Strength of character. Strength in industrious strength. Strength of efficiency in what she accomplishes. Strength and abilities. Strong woman able to do a lot of different things and do them well. And here it refers specifically to the strength of character or the moral strength of one who is solid in character. And so, just in case you men think I'm leaving you out today, I want you to know that this word virtuous is found elsewhere in the Bible and a couple of times referring to men. For example, in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, God's talking to Moses and he says, I want you to go out and I want you to find some able men for the army, men who will be able to lead rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And I want you to find able men. That word able, that's right, it's virtuous. I want you to find virtuous men, strong in character, strong in ability, strong in every sense of the word. And these were to be men. That same verse, Exodus 18:21, goes on to define exactly what able men involves, what it includes. So it says, Moses, you're to find able men such as, number one, fear God. They must fear God. They must respect and reverence God. Men of truth, men of honesty, men who will proclaim true words, who will say true things, men that you can trust, men who have integrity. Men who hate covetousness, the idea of desiring things that please self above the things that please their fellow soldiers or their generals or their leaders or God. But they hate sin is basically what the idea of hating covetousness means. They hate sin, pride, arrogance, anything that is against God, and place these men over, like I said, rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And so the expression able men is the same expression we find here in verse 10 of Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous woman. And the same meaning, the same Hebrew word. And then again in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 42, it talks about valiant men or men of strength. Valiant men. Again, warriors is the idea. Virtuous men, the word there is virtuous. So the virtuous woman or the virtuous man is basically a God-fearing woman or man. A God-fearing. Putting God first, making Him the Lord of your life, serving Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is virtuosity. This is being a virtuous person. So we need to compare that phrase in Proverbs chapter 31, 10, with verse 30. It says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. If we drop down to verse 30, it says, now favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, outward beauty. Beauty is vain, empty. But a woman that feareth the Lord, a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And I thought of that first phrase, that first phrase there, favor is deceitful. What does that mean? Favor is deceitful. You know, you can look at individuals, you can look at people, and on the outside you might see a person you think, boy, they certainly are a great person. They've got so many qualities and so many characteristics and so many attributes. I just admire this person. If it was somebody I wanted to model or follow their example, that would be the person. And I thought, you know what I thought of? I thought of the Miss America pageant, of all things to think of. But here you have all these ladies representing their states, and you have a panel of judges, and I don't know how many judges there are, but these judges are looking at everything. I mean, they're looking at their talents, they're looking at their physical beauty, of course, they're looking at, you know, their special abilities that they have, they're looking at their mental capability of answering questions quickly on their feet and so forth. They're looking at a lot of different things, and they pick one. Okay, they narrow it down, all these women, and they say, well, this one really exhibits the qualities of a wonderful woman. And how many times, I don't follow this, but I have heard of at least one or two instances where someone was chosen and crowned as Miss America, and then a year or two later you hear she's done something, she's dishonored her title, she has to be disbarred or whatever it is they do to a Miss America who's no longer worthy of the title. Why is it? Because so many people, they have natural beauty, they have outward beauty, they have the ability to do things, but inwardly, there's a problem. No strength of character, no fear of God, no consistency with what is true. And so we have a breakdown, and we say, who can find a virtuous woman? She is rare. She is her price, her value is far above rubies. And so there is the virtuous woman idea. Favor is deceitful, but a woman of beauty, she's a woman that feareth the Lord, and she shall be praised. Couple of Old Testament passages, other passages that use that word virtuous. Ruth was described as a virtuous woman. Everyone in the city knew that she was a virtuous woman. And when a woman has strength of character, again, she fears God, she loves the truth, and she hates sin, other people are going to take notice. People are going to recognize her. She's going to stand out in the crowd. Same is true of men. If a man comes along who has high moral character and he loves the truth of God and he hates sin, we're going to say, boy, they're so unusual and they're so amazing. And we really cling to, and they're like a magnet. They draw people to themselves. People, however, usually, most people are so morally weak and impure in character that when a man or woman of virtue does show up, it's quite evident to everyone around. And the other place, I said it was used a couple of times, the other place is also in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, where we're told that a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Whenever you see that idea of somebody having a crown in the Bible, it has the idea of power and authority, but it also has the idea of a blessing. They received a blessing or an honor. It's an honor to a husband to have a wife who is godly, a wife who is virtuous. It goes on to say again, and we want to focus on this phrase for just a moment, her price is far above rubies. Her price is far above rubies. I'm going to say right off at the beginning here, that word rubies is a hard word to define. It's a Hebrew word that has several possible meanings. When we think of rubies, we think of the gemstone, a ruby gemstone. And certainly that would be fitting and that would be applicable here. Whatever we're looking at here, and I'm going to give you a couple other ideas of what this could actually be referring to. The idea is the value, her value. as a person, as an individual, as a godly woman, her value is very, I mean, you can't even put a price on it. It's so valuable. She is so much more precious than jewels. The word rubies here in the Hebrew, just for your own interest or whatever, it could also be referring to a couple of other things. It could be referring to pink pearls. The Hebrew word that's translated rubies here is a Hebrew word that was also used to describe a pink pearl. A pink pearl was a very rare thing back in Solomon's day, and still a very, very rare thing today. But pink pearls is very valuable, just like rubies would be very valuable. I heard a story a long time ago about King Richard the Lionheart, 12th century king of England, son of Henry VII, one of the most mighty warriors, men of valor, fought many battles in his lifetime. Somewhere along the trail in his lifetime, in one of his battles, in the spoils of war, we'll talk about spoils here in just a moment, but one of the things that he was able to collect or find after a major battle was a large bag, a velvet bag, just full of pink pearls. And he treasured those, he valued those. It was said that he had a special pocket sewn into his inside vest, and he always, even in battle, he carried this pouch of pearls next to his heart. And what did he do with them? What he did with them was what was really interesting. He recognized behind every good man is a good woman. And after every battle, he would have a big celebration ceremony when they got back to their homeland. And he would recognize the men of valor who really stood out in battle. Men who deserved to be rewarded. Men who deserve to earn what would be equivalent to the Medal of Honor. But he did something unusual during that ceremony. If they were married, he wanted to not only recognize them for their valor, but he wanted to recognize their wives as well. Because, again, behind every good man is a good woman. And he says any woman that's going to stand behind a man who's gone out to battle most of his life is a good woman. And so when he would call a man to the platform to decorate him with military honors, he would bring his wife with him, and each one of these wives would be given one of those red pearls. And inside the package with the red pearl, she would receive a little certificate or a little piece of paper that she could take to the king's jeweler. The king had his own jeweler, and she could take this red pearl to his jeweler, and he would make her a gold necklace or a gold bracelet or a gold anklet, however she wanted to wear this pearl. She had the right to have his jeweler make her an accompanying necklace or whatever to go with it. One of his generals, and I used to know his name, but I've forgotten since, but one of his generals his wife had actually collected six of those pearls, those red pearls. And she had them all put in one necklace. And in 1994, they found that necklace and they auctioned it off for $60.2 million. 60, not six. $60.2 million. Her price is far above rubies. Amen? Rubies can also, in Hebrew, refer to red coral. Apparently, red coral is very rare and beautiful and priceless. But in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15, it says rubies there are described as a precious jewel. And in Job chapter 28, verse 18, the price of wisdom, it says, is far above rubies. So a virtuous woman is like a rare gem. Now, if you could go out along the roadside anywhere you want to go and pick up rubies like you'd pick up gravel along the side of the road, they wouldn't be worth much. But the reason that they're so priceless is because they, again, are so rare. Women of godly character are priceless because they're rare. Gemstones are precious and valuable because they're rare. A godly woman is very hard to find. And the same thing could be true about the godly man. We could say that the godly people are an endangered species in our world today, and but getting more and more scarce. David cried out in Psalm 12:1, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." What is he saying? He's saying, godly people are getting scarce, Lord. Help us out here. We need some more people that fear you and who trust in you. May God, in his infinite grace and mercy, be pleased to raise up godly men and women in these difficult and perilous days in which we live. The virtuous woman is a beautiful woman. Again, not necessarily outwardly, but certainly inwardly. Again, we referred to verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, if a young man is looking for a godly woman, and I know we don't have a lot of people in that category here today, anyway, I'll say this anyway. if you happen to be looking, if you happen to be a young man looking for a godly woman, the first thing you can do is trust God to find her for you. Trust God. Pray about it. You're going to realize, this woman is going to realize that she just doesn't want any man either. So the second thing you need to do is not only trust God to lead you to the godly woman that you want to find, but also you need to be the godly man that she's looking for. And that is important. You need to be a man of strength, virtuous man. You need to be a man of moral strength, moral integrity, a man who will stand up for the truth, a godly servant of Jesus Christ. Now, your chances of finding such a gem are rare. They're rare. But in order to find such a gem, you need to be that gem yourself. So in order to do that, we need to go back to our study in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Exercise thyself unto godliness. Exercise thyself unto godliness. Learn to fear the Lord. Dare to be different. Dare to go against the flow of the world. Dare to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, proving that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's true of men and women. Be the kind of woman that would attract the interest of a godly man. And I can stand here today and say, God certainly answered my prayer in that respect. I was too shy and too busy on the farm to do any dating as a teenager. So I prayed and asked God, send me a woman. And he did just that. And a godly woman indeed. And I thank God every day for her. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, verse 11 says. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Hardly needs any explanation, does it? But we'll give it a little bit. A woman or a husband who can be trusted, again, that's becoming a rare find in today's world. Being able to fully trust your marriage partner is one of the fundamental foundations of a strong, God-honoring marriage. Martin Luther said of his wife, "The greatest gift of God is a pious, amiable spouse who fears God, loves his house, and with whom one can live in perfect confidence." Two reasons why the heart of the husband can trust in her. One of them is found in the second part of verse 11. He shall have no need of spoil. And we'll explain that in just a moment. And the second reason why the heart of her husband can trust in her is verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Let's go back to the first one in verse 11. He shall have no need of spoil. No need. That's the same expression that we find in Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. Why? Well, if the Lord is your shepherd, what is he going to do? He's going to provide all that you need. You know, he'll lead you in paths of righteousness. He'll make you to lay down in green pastures. He'll lead you beside the still waters. He'll restore your soul. He'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death with you, and so on. And so you have no need of spoil. The word spoil, I think most of us are familiar with that word. When a soldier would go out to battle, and his side, his army, would win the battle, and they would take the soldiers of the opposing battle, the opposing army that survived, probably take them as prisoners of war, and then they would go into the land where they lived, and they would take anything they wanted. Sheep, goats, oxen, rubies, diamonds, whatever they could find, gold, they would take the spoil back to their homeland. And that's how most of the medieval soldiers made a living. They didn't get paid by the government. Their spoil was their income. So if they lost the battle, they come home with empty hands. And so because they often came home empty-handed, the wife had to be the breadwinner of the family. And so Solomon wrote this in the similar context where the husband was busy going off to battle. If he wasn't going off to battle, he was busy making an impression on the city, trying to raise his standard, or I should say, trying to climb that ladder of success. And he wasn't so much a breadwinner as he was a defender of the family and a protector of the family. And so the woman had to be the breadwinner in many cases, or at least do a large part of the breadwinning in the family. And so a man who has a woman whose heart, if his heart can trust in his woman, in his wife, he has no need of spoil. He doesn't need to go off to battle in order to bring home the spoil, the goods, the money for the family. And so a virtuous woman is basically what it's saying. She is not a financial liability to her husband, but she manages her home so well and so industriously that her efforts result in great gain and profit. She's not slothful. She's not careless with the family's assets. She doesn't go out on shopping sprees and run up immense credit card debt. She doesn't waste countless hours each week engaged in unproductive activities. Her husband can safely trust in her. And secondly, verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's reflected in Proverbs 18:22, where it says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." The man, first of all, the first thing, responsibility of a young man is to find the right kind of wife. There's a lot of people, a lot of women out there who are not the right kind of wife. You remember Job? Job's wife was a curse to him. All she did was add more burden to his trials. Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, just curse God and die, Job. That was her advice. Some men, on the other hand, find a woman who will be a crown to her head, to their head, while others find rottenness to their bones, Proverbs 12:4. So, men, you don't want a woman that brings rottenness to your bones, but a crown to your head. And one of the reasons the Proverbs 31 was written, scholars believe, was to help guide young men in finding the right kind of wife. So the key to finding the right woman, again, just to repeat what I said, number one, first of all, look to the Lord. Pray, ask God, direct me to the woman of your choice. The sea of available women is large, but there's only one for you. And God should make that choice. Number two, be the kind of man that a godly woman would want. And God knows who your partner should be. So stand fast on the truth, fear God, stand fast on the truth, and despise sin. So the woman described in Proverbs 31, you read this description and you think, oh my, I get tired just reading through this, you know, thinking about all the duties that this woman was doing, all the things that she did for her family. It's exhausting. You say, who in the world could do all this? It's believed, and I was going to say this earlier and somehow I missed this, but some scholars believe that this description of the virtuous woman is actually a picture of God. And you say, well, it's a feminine picture. Would God do that? Would God demonstrate his character qualities to the people of Israel through the picture of a woman? You remember in the Old Testament, God was pictured as the wife of Israel. And it was often presented in a feminine, from a feminine aspect, as the wife of the husband. Israel was the husband. The church is just the opposite. The church is the bride of Christ in the New Testament. But it's believed by scholars that this description, this amazing description, you know, who can find a woman like this? I mean, she's, one word to describe her would not only be virtuous, but I'd say perfect. Pretty near perfect, because you read all of the things that she does here. A picture of God, how he provides for all of our needs. He's always there for us. He takes care of his family. He loves them with an everlasting love. There's so many ideas here. Strength and honor is his clothing. So we certainly look at this, and we, if you were a woman looking at this description and a young woman saying, okay, what does it take for me to be a good wife, a godly wife? And you read this description, you might get a little bit discouraged. You might come away thinking, this is absolutely impossible. I can't do this. Well, take heart. You remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 2:21? He says, Christ has given us an example that we should follow. The same idea here is, okay, we often use that expression and talk about that. Jesus Christ is our example. We need to be like Christ. We need to follow him. Did you ever stop and realize how impossible that is? I mean, Jesus Christ was perfect, absolutely sinless. Even his thoughts, every word that he spoke, everything that he did was absolutely perfect. He was the righteous, holy God. To be like him, impossible. But we can cry out like Paul did and say in Romans 7:18, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. To will is present. I want to be like this. I want to follow his example, or the woman. I want to be the woman of Proverbs 31, but I don't have it in me. I don't have the strength. I don't have the characteristics. The life of our Lord Jesus Christ needs to be manifested through us. And that's something that we can spend a lifetime learning and getting accustomed to and desiring. 2 Corinthians 4:10 through 11, that the life of Jesus Christ would be manifested through us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The first sermon I ever preached was called Cracked Pots. You know how we should, you know, we're not perfect. We have a lot of cracks in us, but we should allow the light of Jesus Christ who lives in us to shine through us, that others might see him, not us, that they might see him shining through us. May we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Romans 6:11, that the life of our Lord might be manifested in and through us. We can't do it. Women, you can't be the perfect woman. There's no woman in her who could be like, even like the Proverbs 31 wife. You don't have it in you to do that. But by the grace of God, you can be a woman whose husband can trust in, who is a crown to her husband. A woman whose price is indeed far above rubies. Just to boast in my wife a little bit more, her price is far above diamonds, folks. And I know many of you women, or many of you men, feel the same way about your wife. You're shaking your heads, yes. Praise God. You should have a high value of your woman, your wife, your spouse, your loved one, your lover. We do fail to measure up, but we have the Lord Jesus Christ and God who indwells us, who can enable us. And when we do fail to measure up to the kind of person God wants us to be, we talked about this Wednesday night, didn't we? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The Lord Jesus prays for each and every one of us to be the kind of person that we need to be. The kind of person that will reflect his glory. The kind of person that will honor his name. The kind of person who will honorably carry the name Christian. He pleads on our behalf. His work on Calvary's cross has already satisfied God's just demands. And we can confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, and we can enjoy wonderful forgiveness of all of our sins and fellowship with God the Father. And so we're here today not only to glorify God and thank Him for the women in our lives, the wives, the mothers, the grandmothers, the great-grandmothers, but also to say, Lord, let me, man or woman, be more like You, more like Jesus Christ. Let me measure up to the standard of godliness, a person who fears God, who understands that God is holy. And He's the God who says, be ye holy as I am holy, or for I am holy, be ye holy. God, give us the grace and strength to do that. God, forgive me of my sins. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark of His righteousness. We need His forgiveness. We need His mercy toward us, to be shown toward us. And call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, even for salvation. If you're here today and you're saying, you're talking about characteristics of people that I am nothing like, and I know that I am more like the world than I am like Christ. And there are so many things in me that are wrong, I don't know if they could ever be made right. Turn it over to God. He can do amazing things. He can change you. He's the only one who can. He can change you and transform your life into a life that would bring pleasure and glory to God. May God bless you today as you think about these things, as you focus your attention on your wife or your mother today. Thank God for the virtuous woman that she is. No, she may not be as perfect as the Proverbs 31 wife, but she is precious. And she's precious not only in your sight, but she is precious in God's sight as well. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for the mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers that are here. Thank You for the ones that we've all had and who have gone on before us and are home in heaven today, waiting our arrival there. Thank You, Lord, for the heritage that we've had, the godly women who have meant so much in our life. I can testify, as Paul said of Timothy, that I had a godly mother and grandmother who brought me up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And for that, I am so grateful, humbly grateful. Thank You, Lord, for everyone here today. And may Your hand of blessing be upon each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen.